Thank you, George. I'd forgotten about the class back in 2016. That's right. That was a spiritual formation class, just one day, if I remember right, maybe two. I had forgotten about that. I appreciate Pastor Matt inviting me to come and preach today, and I appreciate you being here, not so much to hear me preach, because you probably didn't know I was going to be preaching, but you're here to worship the Lord, and that's so good, that's so right, that you take time and effort to say, I'm going to go worship the Lord today, and be refreshed by Him, and be refreshed by seeing other believers and such like that. So I appreciate Matt inviting me, appreciate you being here, and we're going to look at the Word of God together. Matt asked me to preach something from Mark chapter 10. So if you have a Bible or pull out your iPhone or however you access the Scriptures, open to Mark chapter 10. We'll be looking at a portion of that in a few moments, but just wanted to let you know that's where we'll be going here. Just a moment. One of the things that perhaps you need to know about me is that I never dreamed that I would be a seminary professor. When I was about your age, some of you guys up here still in high school and such like that, I said, okay, I think the Lord wants me to be a pastor. So I started heading in that direction, and I went to seminary entirely with the purpose of pastoring a church. That's what I was going to do. Well, the Lord had all kinds of interesting, different twists in my life that had me pastoring some, but then also teaching some. And so I'm very grateful the Father leads me the way He does. But I want you to know that I am not that smart. I've got some degrees and such like that, and I've taught at seminary, but I'm not nearly as smart as most seminary professors that I know. I just enjoy preaching, and that's what I teach, and so I'm glad to be here today to be with you. So let's pray, and then we will open up God's Word together today. Let's pray together. Lord in heaven, we've been worshiping You already, singing about Your great love for us, Your dying for us. We thank You for that. We also have been singing about our own hearts, that they are prone to wander. And so, Father, we come this morning asking that Your Spirit would help us not to wander so much, and that even this morning, as we open Your Word, You would teach us some things that keep us from wandering. And let us just enjoy Your love for us. And Father, I pray right now that You would be speaking to us. And if You would, just in the quietness of this moment, with your head still bowed, and I'm going to ask that You would just say a silent prayer in your own heart and your own mind. And I'll be saying this prayer as well. A prayer that's something like this: Lord, speak to me from Your Word. Then I'd ask you to also say a silent prayer for someone perhaps sitting next to you or around you, or someone that you know that needs to hear from God today. So just take a moment to silently pray for someone else. And if you can, in your mind, just mention them by name. Then if you would, please pray for me, that my words will be directed by God so that each one of us can hear His word to us from His written word. So, Father, we trust that You're going to be working this morning. All of this through Jesus. Amen. I was about 13 or 14 years old, and my neighbor across the street, who I was friends with, we weren't close friends, but he lived across the street, so, you know, he has to be my friend. He was very popular in school. He was on the student council, and he had positions, and he was one of the popular kids. I wasn't. If they had the term geek or nerd back then, that would have been me. I was pretty awkward. I wasn't part of the in-group at all. Well, my friend across the street, his name was Chris, he had a birthday. So we had a birthday party, and we were 13, 14 years old, and so it was kind of the first time that we had not only the guys come to the party, but the girls came too. Okay, big deal for us, all right? Well, I didn't really know the other friends that he had because they were all student council people and honor society and all, you know, the popular people. Well, I was invited not because I was in that group, but because I lived across the street. So I went, and they had a swimming pool. Not everybody did in our neighborhood. Very few. In fact, I don't remember anybody except them that had one. And they had a nice patio with the grill and everything, and the father was out there making hamburgers and all that kind of stuff. So I went in, and we sat down, and he gave me a hamburger, served it to me and the other ones as well. And, you know, I was 13, 14 years old, so 30 seconds later, I'm done with the hamburger. Ate it up. Well, the dad very quickly said, "Here, you want another one?" So he gave me another one. Well, being a 13, 14-year-old, I was completely insensitive to people around me, okay? I didn't know what was going on. I didn't really care. But I failed to notice that other people hadn't been served even their first hamburger, and I was munching down on my second one. Well, the popular girls, they noticed it. "Well, you're eating your second one. Well, we haven't had our first one." Well, they just looked down on me. They rejected me. I was so crushed. I left the party early and went back home. Now, I'd like to say, that happened, oh my soul, 50-something years ago. And it doesn't bother me today. Yeah, it does. It still bothers me that I was rejected by that group of people because I so desperately want to be accepted. We all do. Now, I remember some times when I was accepted. When I was going to Dallas Seminary and graduated, they asked me to stay on and teach as a graduate teaching assistant, which completely surprised me. I had no idea they wanted me to do that, but they did. And so I said, okay, that sounds fun. I'll stay on another year. And what that meant was I had faculty status. That means I had my little, well, not a full-blown office. I had a little cubicle, but it had my name on it, Calvin Pearson. And then I got to go to faculty meeting. Got to sit there with my former professors. Ooh, there's Dr. So-and-so and Dr. So-and-so. And ooh, man, ooh. And I got to sit at the table. It felt so good to be accepted. We all want to be accepted. We crave it. When a friend says, "Here, come sit at my table with me," and they have to add another chair for you to sit down, but they want you to come and they made room for you and you sat down, you feel accepted by them in that sense of belonging. I belong here. They accept me. And then, at the appropriate time, when the young man and the young lady begin to notice each other, and they begin to talk to each other, and they perhaps go on a date, and they begin to think, hey, how serious are we going to be about this relationship? And they begin to talk about that, and they decide, yes, we are pretty serious. And that wonderful, wonderful feeling of being accepted by a young lady, by a young man, and then that blossoms into marriage. Oh, my. What an absolute delightful experience that a person is saying, I accept you so much that I want to spend the rest of my life with you. Oh, we want that acceptance. We do. And we want acceptance from God. Here's the problem. Because of this world that we live in, because of the sinful people that we are, the self-centered people that we are, here's how we earn acceptance in our world. I'll accept you if you earn it. I'm not going to accept you right off the bat. Oh, I will at some level. Of course, I'll be courteous and nice. But to really accept you, you're going to have to earn it. That's why the young lady and the young man spend some time getting to know each other, is so that they can figure out, yes, I am going to accept you. That's why a school will say, fill out this form, and if you fill the form out and write the paper and have enough grades, we will accept you. You've got to earn your acceptance to our school. Well, really every school. You don't just walk up and say, okay, I'm going to go to this school. No, they say, tell us why. Do you qualify? And so in our world, and perhaps rightfully so because we're all sinful, we have this concept of I want to earn acceptance. I wanted to earn acceptance into that group of friends that my neighbor across the street had, but I didn't do enough to earn it, so they rejected me. Now, that's the problem when we take that concept of being accepted and we move it over to God. It doesn't work that way there. That's where Mark 10 comes into play. So I want you to look at Mark 10 with me, beginning with verse 13. Mark 10, verse 13. Because we're going to see in these stories, and there's three parts to it. There's the children are going to be talked about, then this young man that's going to be talking with Jesus, and then the disciples are going to talk with Jesus. And we're going to see through these three scenes of this story here, something about God accepting us and how we get accepted by God, because we want to be. Verse 13, and they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus saw it, and he was indignant and said to them, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them. Listen closely. Here's the lesson. For to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And he took the children in his arms and he blessed them, laying his hands on them. So Jesus is saying, if you want to have entrance into the kingdom, or if you want to be accepted by God, then you receive it as a child. Receive it as a child. Well, a child has nothing to offer. A child has nothing to really give to someone. A friend of mine wrote this book, and I saw this friend just a couple of weeks ago at a conference here in the Woodland. I didn't even know he had written a book, and he was standing there at his table, and he had his stacks of books, and I went, well, Kevin, you wrote this book. Cool. So he gave me a copy and began reading it. He tells a story in there about Nadia. Nadia was a young lady in a class that he was teaching, and he asked the class one time a question. He said, now, are any of you here have been adopted? And would you feel comfortable telling us about you being adopted? And Nadia raised her hand and said, yes, I was adopted. She tells the story about being born in one of the Soviet bloc countries years ago, Romania or Ukraine or something like that. I don't know the exact nation. Doesn't really matter that much. But she was an orphan there. Her parents had died. She had no brothers, no sisters. She was completely alone in this orphanage as far as friends is concerned. She was, she was fed, she was clothed, but not very well at all. People were harsh. People were kind of mean to her. She was a nuisance. And every once in a while, one of the other folks in the orphanage, one of the other children would be adopted, and they would leave. Well, one day, they came to Nadia and said, Nadia, we want you to go and take a shower. We want you to get cleaned up. She did, and then they said, here is a dress for you. She had never had a dress before, a nice dress. And then she walked into a room. There were two people that didn't look like the people she had been around. Didn't know it, but they were from the United States. She walked into this room and she met this man and a woman. They talked a little bit. She couldn't understand very much because she could understand very, very little English. But they took her, went out, got in a car. She'd never been in a car before. Drove in that car to an airport. And then she got on an airplane with them and flew for hours and hours and hours and finally landed and got in another car and went to a kind of a three-bedroom, kind of normal kind of house. Seemed like a palace to her. She was given a whole set of clothes, given her own room, and when she got into bed that night under clean sheets and clean and new pajamas, the mother and the dad came in, and she didn't understand a lot, but she understood enough to say, this is my daddy and this is my mommy. She was fully accepted by them. And she felt the security and the value of being accepted. She just received it. She didn't know at the time that that cost that couple $40,000 to adopt her. She didn't understand how much red tape they had to go through in order to make that happen. She didn't understand that not only it cost $40,000 to adopt her, but it's going to cost even more than that to raise her. She didn't understand all of that. Even if she could, how could she possibly have paid for that? She just received it as a child. And she was fully accepted by them. She was brought into, if you will, their kingdom. Did you see what Jesus said? Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for such belongs the kingdom of God. Verse 15, don't miss this. This is the heart of it. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Now, the positive is you receive it as a child. The negative is if you don't get in. To reinforce this, Mark has this next story put right next to this story. Maybe it happened sequentially. We don't know for sure, but certainly when Mark tells the story, he puts it right next to each other because he says in verse 17, as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him. So Jesus is going on a journey. Here comes a man and kneels down before him. Wow. He says to him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? That's quite a question. But do you see the man's heart? What must I do to inherit eternal life? Simply put, he's saying, how do I earn it? How much is it going to cost me? What do I have to do in order to get this? Not very much like a child, is it? Well, Christ makes it clear here. Jesus says to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. Now, why in the world does he say that? I mean, it's like, well, duh. I mean, we heard about God being good when we were little. We know about that. Jesus is reminding him that no one on this earth is good, of course, except for Jesus, but no one is good enough to be next to God. So Jesus is reminding him of that. No one is good except God. So what are you coming to me for saying, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? No one's good except God. And Jesus said to him, verse 19, you know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. And he said to him, teacher, all these I have kept from my youth. Pause there for a moment. Maybe he has, maybe he hadn't. He thinks he has. Well, and he said to him, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. Verse 21, and Jesus, looking at him, loved him. Two little phrases that are very important. Jesus looking at him. He wanted to be sure he got it. Isn't it the interesting thing about eye contact? Like right now, if I was to say, I want to ask some of you some questions, you'd probably start looking down like this so that we wouldn't make eye contact. Remember that in school? When the teacher says, okay, we're going to have a test here, I'm going to ask some questions. Who wants to, you know, no, I'm not going to look at the teacher because if I make eye contact, the teacher will call on me. Well, Jesus made eye contact. He connected with him. He looked right at him. And notice this. And loved him. Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? It's almost like Jesus was saying, I accept you just like you are right now. I love you. He loved him. But Jesus wanted to show him something. Jesus wanted to make something very clear to him. Jesus wanted him to discover something. You lack one thing. Go. Sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. Notice, he didn't say, and you will have eternal life. He said, you will have treasure in heaven. Because there is a principle in the scriptures that if you will do good on this earth, that you are storing up treasures in heaven. So Christ is not saying it's bad to do good. He's saying if you do good, you will have treasures in heaven. That's true. But he's trying to show him something. Come and follow me. Verse 22, disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Apparently, this guy thought that Jesus was saying, if you go and sell all you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me, then you get to have eternal life. The man went away, I can't do that. I can't do that, Jesus. And Christ was trying to say to him, that's the whole point. You can't do it. You can't earn acceptance with God. But in our minds, that's how I earn acceptance with the popular kids. That's how I earn acceptance at work. That's how I earn acceptance to that university. That's how I earn acceptance with people around me. So isn't that the way I'll earn acceptance with you, God? And God says, no, that's not how you do it. It's different than that. You just receive it. As a child, you just accept his forgiveness. Now, does that mean it's free and it didn't cost him anything? Not at all. Later in this chapter, Christ makes it very clear. He says, I came to give my life as a ransom, to pay the price for your sins, to pay the price, if you will, for your adoption. I paid that price when I died on the cross. So it cost God a great deal. But we receive it as a child. Now, there's a part of me that says, God, I think I got this. I think I understand that. I mean, I've been taught that virtually all my life, that salvation is a free gift. Well, yes, and I just accept it. I can't earn it. Absolutely, God, thank you so much for that. Thank you that you give me eternal life simply by me receiving it. Oh, that's wonderful. But this story goes on. This is not the end of this little story here. Mark says, there's something more I want you to get. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, notice, and Jesus looked around. He looked at the man and said, I love you. Here's what you need to do to discover that you really just received me. And now he's looking at the disciples. He's looking around at them and said to his disciples, how difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. And we would say, yes, that's right. We understand that. But look at what the disciples said. This is amazing. Verse 24, the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, children, isn't that interesting? Children, How do you get acceptance by God? By receiving Him as a child receives something. Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And they were exceedingly astonished. You see, their concept of how you get accepted by God, they may have understood that you get eternal life by just receiving it, but in a sense what they were thinking, what they were wondering is, wait a minute, God, how do we find favor with you? How do we find a kind of a good reputation with you? How do we get on your good side, God? Because we want to be there. We want to be accepted by you. We know we have eternal life, but how do we get accepted by you? And Jesus is telling them, guys, it's really hard for a wealthy person to enter the kingdom of God because the wealthy person says, how much does it cost? I need to have this part of my home fixed. The plumbing's off. The electrical things are off. How much is it going to cost? Let's get it done. I can do this. Here's the money. The wealthy person thinks I can earn it. And that's why it's difficult. And only by God's grace will a wealthy person realize that. That's why Christ says, with man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God. I can't help but think that when Jesus said that, he was thinking about the cross. That he would have to die. That's the way that God would bring people into the kingdom, is through his suffering and his death. But all things are possible with God. But Peter began to say to him, it's interesting. Peter began to say to him, I want to say, wait, Peter, you're not getting it. Christ just made it crystal clear, the way you enter into the kingdom of God, the way you are acceptable to God, is simply by receiving God's love as a child. But Peter said to him, began saying to him, this is verse 28, see, we have left everything and followed you. It's almost like you told the rich guy he was supposed to leave everything and follow you. That's us. We've done it. We've done that, Jesus. We have left everything and followed you. And Jesus said, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. It's almost like Jesus is saying to Peter, wealth doesn't matter. You're going to have some of this stuff. You're going to be blessed. Be persecuted too, but you're going to be blessed. Peter, the point is not wealth. The point is simply receiving me as a child. Now, I've not gone up to Jesus and said, Jesus, what do I have to do to earn eternal life? I know better than that. By God's grace, I think we all know better than that. But here's what I have done. God, what do I have to do to be recognized by you? What do I have to do to be really fully accepted by you? I know I have eternal life, but how do I get close to you? What do I have to do to impress you? What do I have to do to be fully accepted by you? God says to me, Calvin, those degrees, leave them behind. The fact that you pastored a church, the fact that you taught at the seminary, all that stuff that you've done for me, just leave it behind. That's not how and why I'm going to accept you. I'm going to accept you, Calvin, simply because I just love you. There's nothing you can do to earn my acceptance. Just receive it as a child. Just crawl up into my lap and let me hold you and let me bless you, because that's how I want to give you my love. You can't earn it. You can't be more accepted by me because of what you do for me. It doesn't matter what you've done. I love you. And he looks at me and he says, Calvin, I love you. Leave all that stuff you're trying to do to impress. You can't impress me. Just receive me. Now we know this. And this morning, probably there's some of us that have said, you know, thank you, Lord Jesus, for this passage. Thank you for teaching us this again. And I really believe that. And God, thank you for encouraging me today. That my standing before you is simply because I've received you as a child. Lord, thank you. More than likely, God's Spirit has worked in that way in some of your hearts and minds. It's reaffirmed some things that you already know, that you already believe. Oh, that's great. But I wonder, perhaps God's Spirit is using this passage to correct. I know he's using it to correct some things in my life. To say it's by your love and simply by me receiving it that I'm fully accepted by you, God. Forgive me for thinking that what I've done improves my standing before you. It doesn't. Forgive me for that, God. Let me just receive your love. So maybe this passage has corrected some of our thinking. Perhaps this passage has just hit you in the face because you have been thinking that the way I'm going to get to heaven, the way I'm going to earn eternal life, is by doing enough good. Oh, my friends, you don't get there that way because you can never do enough good. Only way we get there is by receiving, trusting what God has done for us, just like Nadia trusted her new parents. She just received that wonderful gift. And if you have not just received it, receive it today. Can't earn it. Just receive the forgiveness that Christ offers you because he paid for it on the cross. He rose from the grave to prove he was doing it for you. But just receive it today. Oh, Father in heaven, Father, forgive me for thinking that I could earn your acceptance. Forgive me for thinking that that would make me a little more favorable in your sight and I could be part of the group. Oh God, you've made me part of the group simply because of your love. Let me just receive it. Let me just rejoice in that today. And Father, I want to pray for my brothers and sisters here. Oh Lord, let us all be willing to just receive that wonderful acceptance from you. And Father, if there's someone that needs to, for that first time, trust you and receive the gift of salvation, God, let them do that right now. Convict their heart. Lead them to talk to someone about it. Lord, thank you that the first will be last, but the last will be first. All of this through Jesus.